Good morning. How is everyone today? Good. Nice to be here. Nice to see you. I hope that today really encourages you. I feel like I've got a word of encouragement for us today. And my name's Emily, and I'm sure looking out, I can see lots of new faces. So I'm Emily, and that was my husband, Ben, who was just speaking before, and we're the location pastors here at our new location, started in February, as Ben mentioned. So we're on an exciting journey. So thanks for joining us today. We hope that you feel like you belong here. So this month, our theme has been In the Moment. And we've been encouraged by Ben in the previous weeks to align our lives with what matters most and what's most important rather than just what's urgent. And I feel like at this time of year in particular, there's a lot of urgent things. It's like the whole year culminates. But how, you know, in making the most of what matters in the moment to make sure that we not just prioritize the urgent but the important. So we've been encouraged by that. And today, as we continue on this series, In the Moment, I want to speak to us about the power of our fresh God story. The power of our fresh God story. We all have an unfolding God story that is meant to be shared. It's our faith story. The key is that it's a fresh God story. It's continuing, it's growing, it's unfolding through a personal relationship with Jesus. I'll be working with this acronym FRESH today, just so that we really remember it's a fresh journey with Jesus, that it's ongoing. So the first letter, does it kind of remind you of primary school? You know, acronym FRESH. Sorry, there is a little bit of teacher in me. Our God story starts with accepting the free gift of salvation. That's where our journey starts with Jesus. Although the reality is it actually starts way before that because he knew us in our mother's womb and he formed us for a purpose. But we kind of realize what's going on when we hear this message of grace, that it's a free gift of salvation. And that's kind of where our story with Jesus begins. We are saved by grace. It's a free gift. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So often I think as Christians we try to add to this message, but it's simple, it's effective, it's a free gift. And as we continue in our journey with Jesus, that's what's so important about remembering the cross, like Jamie spoke about today, going back to that cross all the time and going, wow, Jesus won this for me. This is not something that we have to earn. It's a free gift. Our salvation story, like the Amazing Grace lyrics, might go something like this. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's that beginning moment where we realize, maybe there is a God that loves me. Maybe his free gift for me is something I can accept. There's that moment of salvation. But our story doesn't end there. Our God story is fresh and unfolding if we continually walk out that personal connection with God. Hebrews 12 verse 2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Or in other versions, it says the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the author of our faith. We don't have to come up with it ourselves. He's the author of our life. We can go to him. We can trust him. And he perfects our faith. It's a journey. That's the journey with Jesus. Our God story unfolds as he perfects our faith. Now, that's not some sort of outward perfection or standard or set of rules that we're adhering to that makes us perfect. It's a perfecting of our faith, which means God is the God who's authored our lives, but then he gives it to us to choose and we have to constantly give it back to him and go, God, perfect it. God, give me that faith again. God, give me that fresh start today. God, I want to keep choosing to fix my eyes on you. So it's like he's authored the life, but then he continually perfects it, adjusts us in love, refreshes our vision. And so that's the free gift, and then the R is redeemed. Our life can be redeemed by Jesus, and it's a constant redeeming. As we go to him, he perfects our faith and he redeems our life. And as he redeems us, it requires access. We need to give him access to our lives, to our hearts. We actually have to keep giving it back over to him, because I know just by my own story, it's like, okay, God, I've got this. And we just sort of take our lives into our own hands a lot before we remember, okay, I'm going to give it back to you, continually giving it back to you, because he knows best. He loves us and he knows how to direct our paths. So our lives can be redeemed, and it's a process of allowing each circumstance we face to be redeemed. Each mistake we make, each wrong mindset that needs to be shifted can be redeemed by the power of Jesus. He redeems our past, he redeems our present, and he redeems our future. And it requires access to our hearts. Our faith journey is meant to stand out, because faith confounds. A beautiful friend of mine had a huge change of season thrusted upon her. And in the midst of a really challenging season, she felt like God was opening up a door to study. So she committed to a year of really, you know, full-on study. And at the time of this study, there was no door open for what would come next, and that is she needed a traineeship to open up in this particular area. But she knew that God was giving her this door to study, and so she believed in faith. Well, God, you're just going to have to make that job available and give me that traineeship at the end. So she just got down to hard work, studied all year, and just recently, just this week, she was sharing this story with me about how she knew this job was hers. And then I got this text this week, and it just said, it was mine. And for a moment, I was like, what? What was yours? Did I leave something at your house? Are you texting the right person? And then all of a sudden, I remembered her story, her faith journey, where she knew this job was hers that didn't exist, this traineeship, and those simple words, it was mine. And I was like, oh my goodness, you got the job. There's a traineeship that didn't exist that now exists so that God can continue to write her story. How good is that? Our faith is meant to confound. Now, it's not all in our own strength. That's the purpose of keep going to God, to so that he can keep refining it and keep opening the doors where we can't see the whole way. We just see the next step that he wants to take us on. So the E stands for easily accessible. We have a God who made himself easily accessible to us, and our story needs to become easily accessible to others. And something that we can ask ourselves is, does my story make God more accessible? Does my story make Jesus really easily accessible? Because I think sometimes we puff our chest up a little bit too much, and or we make Christianity this really difficult thing, this high standard, this, and people in our worlds might think, well, I don't know if I could be a Christian. It seems really hard. I just know as we continually allow God to shape our story and allow him to perfect our faith, we know that anything good that we achieve is really from him. It's from him blessing our lives. It's from him lovingly adjusting our hearts. And so our story, as we accept that grace, our story to others should be an easily accessible God. Is our story easily accessible? With our recent challenge of losing Arabella, who was one of our twins, I felt like God wanted me to write through the twin journey, not knowing all that it would entail. This started with the exciting announcement of being pregnant with identical twins. It was very exciting for about 16 weeks until we started walking through very difficult days. We lost Arabella at 23 weeks in utero, and I went on to carry both girls until we delivered at 30 weeks. I wrote with faith, I wrote through heartbreak, and God started to heal my heart even as the journey was unfolding. He was healing me in the midst. Writing helped me process the pain in a healthy way. in the midst of challenge. It helped others to know how to practically help us and how best to pray for us. I made my story, even as it was unfolding, easily accessible. And I was blessed through that because others were able to help me and like a church is designed to do, rally around each other in faith, in prayer. And we really felt carried by that. But I had to allow God access, and I had to allow people access to my story as well. Even though I haven't blogged through every challenge, I wrote and blogged through that challenge, and I can tell you it really, really helped me. And I think that's the power of sharing our story, is it might not be in a blog setting, it might be for some people here, but the power of sharing your story actually makes it even more real to you. As you start to articulate what happened at that point of salvation, you go, wow, God really did that in my life. As you go through, and as I told our unfolding story, it made me look for what God was doing, how God was working, even in the midst of heartbreak. It made me see that God was very much with us. He never left us. He didn't forsake us. He was with us. And the reality of the life that He offers us is life eternal. And we know that our little girl is in heaven right now with Jesus in the ultimate freedom. You know, it's not just stories like mine that are be told from a platform or from a blog platform. It's your story that matters too. And whatever platform in your life God has given you, whether it's your neighbor next door, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, that's the story that is unfolding in our lives. And that's the influence that we have to share, to include others in our unfolding faith journey. It's not perfect. It's not easy. There's heartbreak and pain in the midst of joys and open doors. There's a whole mix of things that God does in all of us all the time. And we need to include others in our journey and our story of faith. The power of a testimony being easily accessible is seen in John 4. When many people in one village are saved because of one woman's powerful encounter with Jesus. It depicts a story about Jesus, a Jewish man, and a Samaritan woman who culturally at the time should not have been engaging in a conversation together. This woman was at the well in the middle of the day because she was an outcast. There to draw her water at a time when she wouldn't have had to be seen by others and pointed at and talked about. She encounters the kindness of Jesus, His power, and His promise. Let's read it in John 4, verse 6. Wearied by His long journey, He sat on the edge of Jacob's well. He sent His disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." Surprised, she said, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I would give to you living water." The woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket, and this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock?" Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again and again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life." The woman replied, "Let me drink that water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw water." It's not quite the same water, but, you know, she was learning. Jesus said, "Go get your husband and bring him here." "But I'm not married," the woman answered. "That's true," Jesus said, "for you've been married 5 times and now you're living with a man who is not your husband. You have told the truth." Then we'll skip to 25. The woman said, "This is all so confusing, but how do I know that the anointed one is coming, the true Messiah, and when he comes, he will tell us everything we need to know?" Jesus said to her, "You don't have to wait any longer. The Anointed One is here speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for." At that moment, the disciples returned and were stunned to see Jesus speaking with the Samaritan woman. Yet none of them dared to ask him why or what they were discussing. All at once, the woman dropped her water jar and ran off to tell her village and told everyone, "Come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the Anointed One we've been waiting for." Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to go see Jesus. And in 39, it says, "So there were many from the Samaritan village who became believers in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." I can just imagine this woman being like, "Wow, come and see the man that told me everything. Whoa, the man that told me everything. This is crazy. I don't understand. There's living water. You know, I'm going to be satisfied." She's not quite understanding the whole picture, but something has changed in her life and she's experienced the grace and acceptance of Jesus, and she has to tell people. She's compelled to tell people, "Come and see the man who told me everything." It's like she was an outcast drawing water in the middle of the day because she didn't want to be seen. And all of a sudden, she's exposed before Jesus, yet she's accepted and loved, and she doesn't need to hide. Just like we don't need to hide, because salvation is a free gift. And there are two main reasons why our story needs to be shared. We need to say it, and someone else needs to hear it. We need to say it so that we realize just what God is doing and has done in our lives and continues to do. We need to write it if that helps you. We need to tell someone about it. It helps us process and articulate and be grateful for what God has done and is doing. But there's also people that need to hear it, people that need to hear your encouragement, people that need to hear that you have a challenge too and that your world isn't perfect all of the time, because sometimes we can paint that picture because God helps us so much that our life seems to be somewhat perfect, but we all know that that's not true. God is just helping us live our lives and overcome. So our story should be easily accessible, and it should make Jesus easily accessible as well. Come see the man that told me everything. Does our story make Jesus more or less accessible to others? He's the perfecter of our faith, not the perfecter of our lives or our outward appearance. Our vulnerability will help make Jesus accessible to others. And the power of our fresh God story, S, is for streams of living water. Is my God story fresh? Jesus is living water, not a stagnant pool. His life is designed to run through us, filling us, refreshing us so that we can give out life. It's a rich and satisfying kind of life. We have a tiny pool in our backyard, basically just for splashing in, and we have to make sure that we empty it out. Otherwise, it's like a breeding ground for mosquitoes. And stagnant water is like a breeding ground for the wrong things, the things that you don't want in our lives. But Jesus has come to give us living water, life, life flowing, life abundant, rich and satisfying water. And it's not the type of water that we drink. He's referring to the Holy Spirit in our lives that refreshes us, that gives us new starts over and over again, that reminds us how worthy we are. That's the living water that Jesus offers us. And the power of our fresh God story, H for fresh, is humble. Humility is accessibility. Accessible to God, accessible to people. Can we humble ourselves enough to realize that we don't have all the answers on our own? That we need Jesus. That we will keep drinking and keep looking for the answers that we need everywhere else, but we won't come up satisfied until we allow Jesus to take that place of Lord in our lives. Humility is authenticity. Authentic is on trend right now in our society. but it's not attached to humility at all. It's actually attached to pride. It says, this is who I am. Deal with it. I'm not going to change. This is who I am and I'm proud. That's limited because it says you're a finished product if that's who you are. We need to come to God and say, you know what, God, you have authored my life and you want to perfect it. And I need to keep giving it back to you to allow access so that I don't have to have all the answers on my own. I don't have to be a finished product. It's actually really freeing when we realize we can keep journeying, we can keep learning, we can keep growing and changing and be a better person tomorrow in the power of Jesus, not in our own strength, not by trying to be a better person, not by adhering to a set of rules, but by experiencing His constant living water that showers grace and acceptance and love, and it transforms us into the person that He's truly created us to be. Not a person that stops growing and says, no, this is who I am, deal with it. It's like, God, I'm willing to come to you with my life and humble myself before you and be truly authentic in humility. Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's perfect will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Authenticity needs to be attached to humility for it to become teachability. God wants to shape and mold our hearts in love because He has the best for us. And when there's sin and when there's shame and when there's mistakes and pain, we can be limited and affected and hurt. But if we can humble ourselves, God can redeem that if we give Him access to it. Humility sees Jesus as Lord. He is my creator and my perfecter. We need to approach God with a humble heart. Yes, saying yes to Jesus requires humility. We need to recognize that we need Him. And that's okay. That's the state of the human heart. We need Him. We need His streams of living water. We need to be refreshed and renewed daily. We need Him, and that's okay. So this journey started and starts, our faith journey starts with the free gift of salvation. And it never stops being a free gift. It never stops being a free gift. Grace is always available every day to us, and it empowers us to change our thinking so that we can be renewed from the innermost being. And so much, not much changes on the outside necessarily, but God shifts things on the inside, and then everything about how we see the world changes. Everything about how our faith perspective then is the lens that we can view our life. You might be sitting here today thinking, I don't have a God story. Well, let me tell you, God knows you. He sees you, and He's written your story from the before your days on here, on earth even began. He knows your story, and He's waiting for you to accept that free gift so that you can live the very best life that He has planned for you. Or maybe for some people in this room, you can relate to your life feeling like a stagnant pool instead of streams of living water. Life, abundance, hope, victory, assuredness. This is the life that Jesus has for us, one that overcomes with His power. Living with Jesus makes life the biggest adventure. So can we choose today to make our God story fresh? And all we need to do is, in humility, bring our open heart and our open life before God and say, I see you as my creator, but I also see you as my perfecter. And that's in a loving relationship. That's knowing that he's not here to condemn or to make us perfect by adhering to rules. It's perfecting our faith, which enables us to trust him, to trust his word, to trust that the life that he has for us is the most satisfying way to live. So right now, with every eye closed, just to give people some privacy in this room,